going to jump into our study tonight in the book of James. And yeah, tonight, I'm super excited. We have a guest speaker. His name is Xavier Salazar. And he goes by X, which just might be the coolest nickname out there. And Xavier is the pastor of spiritual formation and communities at Redemption North Mountain. So he's in the Redemption Network family. So Xavier and I actually went to GCU together. So back in the day, you were in the biblical studies program too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were both in the biblical studies program. And like, I kind of joke about it. Like, he was like the cool kid in class and I was kind of the shy kid. We grabbed lunch, I think it was like last week, and I was like, I don't think we ever actually like really talked in class. And so anyways, it's fun kind of fast forward a few years and we get to be doing ministry in different places together, which is a ton of fun. Xavier is somebody that is a peer of mine, but I really look up to him in so many different ways. I feel like the maturity that I see in him, the level of Christ-likeness, the way that he like talks about the people in the community that he leads, even just like his personal devotion to following Jesus is something that I just really admire a lot. He's thoughtful, he's humble, he's likable, and you're really going to enjoy hearing from him tonight. So, and his family is here in the back, so they got the cute little one. He's adorable. Remind me his name again?
Dominic.
Dominic. So give Dominic a fist bump. It's going to be great. So anyways, before Xavier comes up, do you guys actually mind standing? I'm going to read God's word for us out of the passage that we're going to talk about. And then we'll welcome Xavier to come share the word. So this is James 3, verses 1 through 12. It says this: "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we also curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." This is the word of the Lord. You guys may be seated, and will you guys clap for Xavier as he makes his way up here?
Are you guys having a good Sunday?
Yeah.
Good. Corey's he said very kind things. One of them maybe wasn't fully accurate. I was not the cool kid. I was just outgoing and kind of weird. So I don't know. I had long hair, was really outdoorsy. You're going to find out a little bit of that right now. My wife and my two sons are here. Here's a picture of them. Annalisa is my wife. Dominic is the cool kid. My oldest, my youngest is in the picture. He's just still cooking. So we're going to meet him in April, and you guys can be praying for that. His name is Malachi, and I think we have like 6 weeks, and then we meet the little guy. Pray that he has curly hair just like Dom, because it's just a cool look. So I'm excited to be here with you. It's funny to sit back there and to listen to Corey share those things, because like literally my notes, right here in my notes. Before I go into the text, I just want to honor Corey. Like, it's cool to see who he is, and I think he's right. I've been enjoying spending time with him, and I just want you to know, behind the scenes, when you guys are not there, Corey talks about you guys, and when he talks about you guys, he talks about how much he loves you. So you have a pastor that really cares about you guys, has a lot of intention, prays for you, and has a desire for you guys to grow with Jesus. And there's something special about that. So take advantage of this season that you get to have a man like that pours into you guys. I don't want to go into this until I pray, so let's just pray together, and then we're going to hop into the text. God, thank you that on a Sunday night when we could be doing a lot of different things, that we're here worshiping you, taking time to go into your word. And because of that, we just pray, would you be kind to us in this time? Would you use your word to shape us and lead us and guide us? I'm just praying that during this time, that wherever people are at, that you would begin to lovingly convict us and lead us towards Christ-likeness, that we would leave with some practical tools on how to follow you well. God, would you use this time to shape us? We love you. Amen. It's hard saying this because you guys don't really know me, but I'm going to share a little bit about myself to you. I have a weird amount of pet peeves and little things that frustrate me. Do you guys have pet peeves? Name some of them. Any pet peeves that you guys have? Chewing? Like people, like mouth open chewing? Nice. What other ones? Laundry on the floor. Nice. You would never want to come over to my house. So, anything else? Being late. No. What? You agree with that? Okay. I'm going to tell you one of my pet peeves. You can tell me if you agree. One of my biggest pet peeves is when I can tell that someone else is on their phone while they're driving. Anyone else? So if I'm at a stoplight and I'm behind somebody and the light goes green and I wait more than 3 seconds, I just feel led by the Holy Spirit to let them know to get off their phone by honking my horn. No, really, it really gets me when I see people and like, yeah, they're definitely on their phone. Or when someone's like swerving a little bit and I go to pass them, I'll tell my wife, they are 100% on their phone right now. And I'll look and I'll see them and they're on their phone. Now, I say that's a frustration, but the thing that gets me is this could actually go bad pretty fast. So it must have been a couple years ago. My brother is driving on the freeway, and when he's driving, there's traffic ahead of him. So he ends up at a complete stop. So while he's sitting there, he notices the person behind him is not slowing down. They're coming, and he braces, and they hit him. Now, luckily, he had a nice truck. He got hit at like 50 miles per hour, and nothing really happened to him. The truck was fine. Her car was completely totaled. And when they found out what happened, you can guess, right? She was on her phone. So it's silly to say, yeah, this is a big frustration of mine, but part of it, too, is I think it could just go south pretty fast. Now, here's the hard part about my frustration, and this is my confession to you, is the moment I'm done judging the person that's in front of me, the wrong Spotify song is on. So I pick up my phone, and I make sure to put on the old Confessions by Usher so I can listen to that instead. No, I get frustrated with others, but I do the same thing. Now, tell me if this relates. I think I can understand why people are on their phone even though they know there's a big risk at hand. The more that we're on our phone while driving and nothing happens, no accident, no mistakes, the more confidence we get, even if we know it's not what we should do, we start believing that we're the exception to the rule. Like, they should not be on their phone, but I can handle this. Until we mess up. And we end up in the accident and we realize how dangerous it was what we were doing. You have to just think about this logically. We're functioning heavy machinery. And functioning it, not being attentive to it, is very dangerous. When we're not attentive to driving and we're distracted by technology, we're not acknowledging the consequences that come to ourselves and to others. Now, this sermon isn't about being on your phone, by the way. Here's what my point is. I think that many of us use our words like people drive their cars. We don't take the time to truly consider the power of what we're handling, and we passively use our mouths, our words, our tongue, not aware that without intentionality, we are just a moment away of bringing disaster to ourselves and to the people around us. Like, I mean this, I don't know if we know how powerful we really are. And let me be more direct than that. I don't know if we understand what we are in possession of. I don't know if we know that our tongue, our words, our mouth has the power to destroy and to kill, or to build and to bring life. When we understand the power that we're handling and the influence of the tongue, that the tongue really has, it should change our approach to how we handle our words. So here's my big point for today as we go into James 3 in the beginning of the chapter. My question for you is, do you want to grow in maturity? I think that most of you would say yes. I think you want to grow close to Jesus. I think you want to reflect him. I think you want to be more aware of him. I don't think you would intentionally choose to come to church on a Sunday night if you didn't want to grow in maturity. Now, here's what James wants you to know. Do you want to grow in maturity? Then get a handle on your tongue, because it has much more power than you know. Let me just read that first half of the passage again, and let's hop into this together. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. So James wants you and me and the readers to know something. He wants us to know the tongue has way more power than we think. So first things first, we need to know what he means when he says the tongue. Does it mean the literal tongue in our body? Kind of. What it means is what the tongue produces. Tongue in the Bible can be defined as this: a body of words and systems that makes up a distinctive language. So when we say tongue, what I want you to think of is what we use our language for. The tongue refers to the words we think, say, believe, or ponder on. The ideas and beliefs that go through our minds. The reflections that happen naturally when we sit in silence. The words that we ponder on when we're reading or thinking. Or the words that we say in our head or out loud. To lead people, or to encourage someone, or to correct someone, or to demean someone. The words that we think, say, believe, or ponder on. Now, with this in mind, the text gives us some very key images or analogies to reflect on. This is what he says. There's these pictures of small pieces of equipment that control seemingly wild creatures or environments. So he says the bit in the mouth of a horse. Do you know what a bit is? Does anyone know what it's like a weird thing in the mouth? Either way. Then he says the small rudder of a ship or of a ship in the sea. Now, here's another picture for you. Is anyone here really outdoorsy? Any outdoorsy? Wait, raise it high, just so I know. Okay, does anyone know what this is? Someone was like, hey, are you a guy that like brings stuff for knowledge? He's like, no. So either way, does anyone know what this is? I'm gonna tell you, okay. My wife and I, when we met, we were friends for a little bit, and then I took her on our first date. Our first date was at Camelback Mountain. Have you guys been there before? Okay. Camelback Mountain at night, was it illegal? No comment. So we go to the mountain, and there's all like the city lights, and I took her rappelling for our first date. Now, I'm surprised that she continued to go on dates with me because of what I said to her. It was so cheesy. I said something along the lines of, you know, if we're gonna date, I just really want you to trust me. And we're gonna rappel today. So you're literally going to have to trust me. And I must have been watching too much Bachelor or something like that. Like, it was the cheesiest thing you could say to someone. So we were up there, and I taught her how to rappel. So we had a rope and a harness, carabiners, and things like that. But all of those things don't actually matter if you don't have this thing called an ATC device. That's what this is. So you have all this other stuff, but this is what brings it all together and keeps someone safe. This. So when she goes off of this mountain, The only reason her life is safe is because of this little thing. This is what controls the safety of the situation. This is what James wants you and me to know. That these small things, even though they seem to be insignificant in some ways, are the things that are controlling the safety and the security of the entire situation. No matter how wild the environment is, no matter the winds of the sea, it's the small rudder that keeps the ship steady. So here's the point that he wants to make, which feels a little confusing to me, to be honest. No matter the storms that might come into our life, the pain or the unwanted moments, the regretful decisions, the suffering that some of us might be facing in this room. And this is weird, but he's saying the tongue under control is what can actually lead us to stand firm. The tongue, according to James, is the tool in our body that keeps us in control when there is instability around us. That doesn't feel like it makes sense to me. Like, the question in my mind is, how is it that the tongue is the thing that gives me security? I thought it was the heart. Like James 2 even says, people can say, I believe in God all day, but if their life doesn't match with that, then there's an inconsistency there. So in my mind, what comes first? Is it a renewed heart or is it a renewed tongue? Does my heart lead the tongue or does my tongue lead my heart? And the answer seems to be yes and yes. Verse 8 says, no man can even control the tongue. No man can tame it at all. The tongue is powerful in such a way that we need to control it, yet it's so wild that we can't do it ourselves. So it's actually that we need the renewal of the Spirit in our lives to give us the capability to tame the tongue. But once that happens, if you're here and you've given your life to Jesus, then this is what James wants you to know. That it's actually our intentional taming of the tongue that leads us in our discipleship in the way of Jesus and leads us to spiritual maturity. One quote says it this way: the control of the tongue is more than an evidence of spiritual maturity. It is the means to it. It's actually us being intentional about our tongue that leads us in the way of Jesus. We often think that our tongue, the words that we think or believe or say or ponder on, will just inevitably change. But it's actually the intentional pursuit of a controlled tongue that not only impacts the words that we believe, but it also changes the entire body and life. So the question is, how is it that our tongue actually shapes us? It's because it's the words in our life that shape who we become. The words that we receive or ponder on or think or believe or say, they shape who we are and who we are becoming. So when Adam and Eve believed the words, you can be like God, that changes our reality forever. But when we believe the words, it is finished, everything in our world changes again. The words that we hear and read every day, the words that we think about when no one is around, the words that we say to our friends, family, and enemies, all lead us into who we're becoming. They are the small rudder that leads the whole body. The tongue has the power to lead us in who we are becoming. So we must seek for the words, the thoughts, and ideas we receive, speak, think, and ponder on to point to Jesus. And for James, this is so important for his people to understand because although the tongue can be the agent that leads us towards maturity, the tongue also has the power to bring chaos into our lives and the lives of those around us. Left untamed, you have the power to bring some legitimate chaos to those around you. The rest of the passage, he begins to talk about how the tongue is like a fire How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. I think of it this way. Can I let you in on a marriage secret? Keep this in your pocket for whenever you get married. Are you ready for it? Married people argue. I know. And I'm going to be more specific. Christian married people argue. Is this blowing your mind? Is this new revelation for you? He's like, no, I know that. It looks different for every couple, but it's just part of relationships. It's a real thing. My wife and I, we argue, but we're both pretty stubborn. And our arguments, honestly, are kind of funny. And I'm usually right. But either way, that's besides the point. So the other day, my wife says, can you get some hydrogen peroxide? Because my son had a little cut on his finger. So I showed up with hydrogen peroxide and a few cotton balls. And she said, could you actually give me Q-tips? Now, I could have been a good husband and said, yeah, of course. But I said, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why did I say it? I don't know. That doesn't make sense. The cotton balls make more sense. She's like, no, Q-tips do. And it's just one of those funny things. We're just really stubborn, and I kind of love that about us. Now, here's the point I want to make to you. The most important words in any argument, big or small, are the concluding words. Now, I just want you to imagine this. Imagine if I looked at my wife after an argument and I said to her, this would be so much easier if we just got a divorce. Now, let me just be clear. I walk with a lot of people in marriage stuff. You would be surprised by how many married couples bring and invoke words like that. And the moment that those words come out, what does that bring into somebody's life? But pain and confusion and a lack of trust. Now, here's my marriage secret for you. You can keep this for the day that you get married. Remember, the concluding words are the most important words. Big or small arguments, my wife and I have the same concluding words for our arguments. We look at each other and we say, you're the one I want to be with. You're the one I want to be with. Because the words that we use mean something. When I say those words at the end of any argument, no matter how mad or not mad we are, if it's like a joking argument or a serious one, and I look at my wife and I say, you're the one I want to be with, that means something. Instead of bringing chaos and fire and destruction into our relationship, it brings hope and peace. We need to know that the way that we use our words, our thoughts, and our ideas mark us and the people around us. When you use your words to intentionally bring pain to someone, or when you use your thoughts to live in sinful fantasies, or when you consume YouTube and Instagram more than the Word of God, or when you believe the lies of the world more than the truth of God, or when you talk about someone behind their back or lie to someone, we are all bringing certain realities that mark us and the people around us. We have to embrace the fact that the tongue has sparks that can start the flames in our lives and the lives of others that can lead to a fire. We have much more power than we think. Now, you are at 710 for a reason. You didn't come to church on a Sunday night for no reason. I would like to say you probably want to grow in Christlikeness. Now, if you want to grow in Christ-likeness, James chapter 3 has a message for you. Start controlling the tongue so that your words are defined as a fresh spring of water instead of an uncontrollable fire. God has given you a very powerful tool, and we have to be aware that utilizing it with intentionality is the key in our discipleship. We admit that we need the Spirit to do this, but then we take the steps to train the tongue. So this is what I want to do for the last moments of this message. I've been getting into running recently. I'm pretty bad at it. But some people have been giving me just simple stretches to help me with my running. These simple stretches are just part of my training. Now, in the same way, I want to give you some simple stretches with training the tongue. I don't think we could have a sermon like this without me telling you some direct ways on how to train the tongue. I think following Jesus is a lot more practical than we make it sometimes. So I just want to share some simple rules in life that you can use to train the tongue. When I say these things, the thing that resonates with you the most, please take it, write it down, and start utilizing it. And I want you to hear this. And the thing that confronts you the most, I want you to take it, write it down, and start utilizing it. Because it's through these things that the tongue will be used under the authority of God to bless him and to bless others. All right, here's rule number one. God should have the first word of your day. We all have endless words and voices coming at us. The average American adult watches TV or videos online about how many hours a day? Any guesses? 5 to 6 hours a day. We're all part of that list. We have endless content, most of which is not pointing to Jesus, but all of it is shaping how we see the world in our life. The TV shows we watch, the Instagram pictures that we gaze at, the YouTube videos we consume all impact us and what we believe to be true, even if we don't think it's the case. And much of the content we consume, left unchecked, will lead us to believe in lies. The biggest lie at hand for us to believe is that all this content doesn't impact us. We need to have daily time in God's word before the world pours into us. Now, I said this to our church a few weeks ago, but I want you to hear this. Once a week at church, listening to the word read and preached is really good. It's just not enough to fight against the current of the content of the world. We have to have simple practices in our life to run to God's word. Here's just an easy tool for you. Each morning, read your scripture before you go into your phone. I don't know how many of you grab your phone first thing in the morning. Put your phone somewhere and somehow replace it with your Bible and just read a couple verses in the morning. Read a psalm each morning before you go into your phone and check your text or Instagram or the news. Here is tool number two. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Here is a quick way to love people when you talk. Talk about yourself less and ask more questions. David Brooks, an author, says that every person relationally either diminishes others or enlightens others. What he's saying is when you're talking with someone, either you are coming into the relationship and you're actually making that person feel smaller and smaller and smaller, or the most loving way we can love people is we actually uplift others. And when they leave our presence, they feel encouraged and loved and seen. Here is the tool you can use if you want people to experience you that way. If you want to love people, use your mouth less and your ears more. Just listen to people. Ask as many questions as you can. All right, here's tool number three. When you speak, and here's a few things with this. When you speak, do not gossip. Make an intentional decision to talk about the person right in front of you, not people that are not present. Make an intentional decision not to share secrets of people with others. Make an intentional decision to not share unconfirmed information with others. When we gossip, we bring destruction, not life, to the people around us. When you speak, speak the truth. Do not lie. Do not exaggerate to impress people. Do not act like you know something that you don't. Believe that there is nothing to prove and no one to impress. Let your yes be your yes. And do not pretend to be something you might not be. This brings me to an important fact that I just want to share about this whole message. Controlling the tongue does not mean to go and use Christianese. So it doesn't mean go around and be like, gosh, bless God today. Great to be his name. Like, that's all you say now. Rather, it's to speak the truth with confidence. I don't want to share this person's name, but there's a pastor recently who passed away, leaving an amazing impact on people's faith through his teaching. And at the same time, it came out that he also left destruction and pain in people's lives through endless sex scandals. He had the right words, but he wasn't speaking the truth. For us, the first thing must be the truth of where we are. You're struggling with God? speak the truth. You're confused if you believe in Jesus, speak the truth. Share the reality of where you are. And the main way that we fight this is the third thing, confess your sins. It's better to confess your sins than to preach something that does not match your character. There's a podcast that I listen to called The Exorcist Files. If you're scared of demon stuff, don't listen to it. If you're intrigued, it's an amazing podcast. Every person I've told this podcast to, they say their prayer life is expanded because of the podcast. Now, the podcast is this. There's a professional exorcist. He's been in the game for a long time, and he's literally just going through his case files of different demons that he's exorcised out of people. And there's, like, voice actors in it. It makes it kind of creepy and, like, ooh, it's, like, kind of, oh, my gosh. I went home afterwards, like, prayed over each room. Please bless Dom's room. I was, like, just nervous afterwards. But there is one of the episodes, there's a guy who had a demon in him. And he finally was like, dude, this is just enough. It was real crazy. He would black out for days and wake up. But the demon gave him, like, this superhuman strength. And then he goes to confess to a priest. And when he goes to confess, the demon wouldn't let him get the words out. And the exorcist, commenting on it, says this one comment. I want you to hear this. He said, it is more powerful to confess than to have an exorcist show up. Like, he literally was, confession is more powerful than an exorcism. So I want you to hear this. The things that weigh heavy on us, if you want to know how to be relieved of those things, confess your sins. Confess the pain and the hurt in your life that maybe you've caused or people have caused to you. Confess the things that are happening in your life. The next one is this. Bless God. This is simple because you guys were just doing this, but praise God. Use his word. Use the words that God gives. Who said that earlier? Whoever was leading worship said, God gives us breath every single day. Let's use those words to praise him. We use these words to bless him as we praise his name. And the last one is encourage others. Uplift others as much as you can, which is a perfect transition to this next one. I just have two more for you. Here's my next note. Talk about people behind their backs more. I know that sounds weird. I'm being a pastor and trying to use my words all witty. All of us love talking about people. It's just true. I talked about a few people on the way here with Anna. I don't remember who, to be honest. Like, it's easier to talk about others than to talk about ourselves. Is that, would you nod if that's true? It's easier to talk about people. Well, here's my encouragement to you. Talk about people more. Just talk about them to God, not to others. People are going to come into our mind all the time that we want to talk about. People that annoy us and frustrate us. People that do weird things. People that we don't really like. And what do we usually want to do? Go find our good friend and say, dude, I need to tell you this. Anytime we say, did you hear? The next thing afterwards is typically talking about somebody else. What if we took all that same thing and brought it to God just to pray about those people? The people that frustrate and annoy us. Like, to be honest, just the people that we might not like. What if we went to God instead? We continue to talk about them, but we said, God, would you bless them? Would you love them? Would you care for them? Keep talking about others, but not to others, to God. Pray, pray, pray for the people around you. And the last one is this. Write more handwritten notes. We get so many texts, so many emails, and we have so many conversations through our phones. But there's something really special about receiving a card from someone and knowing they took the time to write it just for you. All the guys in here that have a crush on a girl, I just gave you the best tool ever. So just want to throw that out there. But really, write more letters. Find people's addresses. Send them a letter. When was the last time that you opened up your mailbox and there was a letter in there? Even if you're at GCU or at a college, imagine you actually have something in your mailbox and it's a letter from someone. Write more letters and love the people around you. Now, I don't expect you guys to utilize all those things right away. Just choose one. What's one of those things that you could apply to your life to train your tongue? Do you want to grow in maturity? Get a handle on your tongue. We are all seeking to grow in our pursuit of Jesus, in our obedience and discipleship. We are all wanting to grow in the way. My prayer is that springs of fresh water would pour forth from your mouth, that your words would be a source of blessing and healing to the people around you, that people would leave your presence filled, not emptied, that when people are around you, that because your trained tongue, you would be the aroma of Jesus. So here's my encouragement for right now. Can we all, since we're here in this room on a Sunday night, begin this right now? The worship team's gonna come up, I'm gonna pray, and I don't want my prayer to be the end moment of this sermon. I would like it to be the beginning moment of us praising Jesus and us spending time praying to him and using the words that he's given us to bless him and to bless others. You feel led to pray to God? Pray to God. You feel led to pray for your neighbor? Pray for your neighbor. Let's just spend time right now using our mouths to praise him. So right now, just take a moment. Just close your eyes and bow your heads. Let us just take a moment in silence and let's pray to God and begin just to use this time to bless him. God, we thank you for the way that you've used your words and your word to bless us. And we pray that we would use this tool you've given us, a tool so powerful that it can build and destroy, so dangerous that it could invoke fire to the lives of people around us. Would you use it, though, to bless you and to bless others? Jesus, I think about your main commandment for us, to love you, God, and to love others. God, would you lead us to do that through the tool you've given us? God, my sincere prayer for the people in this room is this. We're going to go into our weeks. We're going to be around our neighbors, the people that live life around us. My prayer for every person, I just pray a blessing over everyone. God, that you would do something in our hearts that when people come into our presence, they would experience you, Jesus. God, would you please help us have the intention with our words to do just that in the lives around us? That people would leave our presence thanking you, God, because of the way that you use the tool you've given us. So God, even now, would you just lead us in this time to bless you through worship and through prayer? God, we love you and we thank you. Amen.